so much to do. Now that our work was legally registered, there was much to do to develop kingdom interests in Albania. The brothers needed to be brought up to date and strengthened spiritually. Publications were needed in Albanian for the brothers and for the field. And there was an urgent need for more preachers. Who could help? In 1992, special pioneers arrived from Italy and Greece and attended an Albanian language course. At the same time, a small team began translating our literature. Even though at times there was no electricity for as long as 21 days in a row, the brothers kept a good sense of humor and busied themselves with the work at hand. There was much menial work, too. When it was cold, the missionary home needed to be heated, but it was not possible to buy wood in Albania. How were the brothers going to keep warm? Brothers from Greece came to the rescue by sending a supply of large pieces of wood and an electric saw. There was still a problem, though, because the opening in the wood stove was tiny, and there was no electricity to operate the saw. Fortunately, one of the brothers had a friend on the other side of Tiran who owned an axe. Because there were no buses, it took 2 hours to get the axe to the missionary home, and it had to be returned before dark. "We all took turns chopping wood while we had the axe," recalls one of the missionaries, "but we managed to keep warm." In the midst of all the wood chopping and the language courses, the Albanian translation team enjoyed the first of many visits by Nick and Amy Aladis from Translation Services, now in Paterson, New York. Their kind and balanced approach was an enormous help to the new translators, who learned quickly and did good work. The Italy branch printed the literature and shipped it into Albania. All the hard work was more than worth it in view of the wonderful response the publishers were enjoying in the field ministry. New publishers, too, were ablaze with zeal. Lola, for example, had just begun publishing, yet she spent 150, 200, or even more hours each month in the ministry. When advised to be careful and to pace herself in service, Lola replied, "My life has been a waste until now. What else is worth my time?" The work forges ahead. March 1993 was a historic month for Albania. The special pioneers began new assignments in Berat, Durrës, Gjirokastër, Shkodër, Tiranë, and Vlorë. The Watchtower of March 1st was the first issue prepared by the Albanian translation team. The brothers had their first theocratic ministry school. Thus, all five meetings were held for the first time. The first Albanian edition of Our Kingdom Ministry came out, and the first special assembly day was held in Tiranë's Skender Bay Square at the Ballet Opera Theater. Delegates arrived from Greece and Italy to enjoy this historic special assembly day. Nasho Dori opened the assembly with prayer, thanking Jehovah for all the blessings they were enjoying. The attendance reached 585, and 41 were baptized. Among them were children and grandchildren of brothers who had served Jehovah faithfully in Albania. Great was the excitement in 1993 over having a district convention in Albania for the first time. There were more than 600 people in attendance, with delegates from Austria, France, Greece, Italy, and Switzerland. How thrilled the Albanian brothers were that after having been isolated for so long, they could associate freely with so many brothers from so many lands. For the sake of better organization, the governing body appointed a country committee made up of Nasho Dori, Vito Mastrorosa, and Michael Di Gregorio to serve under the supervision of the Italy branch. One of their first priorities was to find property to house the office and the growing translation team. Among the next group of special pioneers who started learning Albanian was Stefano Anatrelli from Italy. After 5 weeks of language training, he was called into the office and told, "We'd like you to visit the special pioneers and groups as a circuit overseer." "But I can't even speak Albanian properly," was Stefano's first reaction. Yet he viewed this assignment as a wonderful privilege. After getting some help preparing a couple of talks, Stefano set off to the far-flung corners of Albania. About 30 years had elapsed since Spiro Vruho had visited the brothers as circuit overseer during the ban. In 1995, Stefano was appointed as a member of the country committee. In 1994, a third group of pioneers from Italy came to Albania. The new Albanian publishers were stirred up by the zealous spirit of all those pioneers. At the end of the 1994 service year, there were 354 publishers engaging in the preaching work. However, many publishers had emotional challenges. Changing from an extremely oppressive system to a completely free society was not easy. In order to survive under totalitarianism, they had to be careful that they never openly expressed their feelings to others, especially not to foreigners. Nevertheless, the foreign brothers and sisters understood this and patiently worked to gain the trust of the newer ones. That same year, the elderly brothers and sisters, as well as the new publishers, were delighted to meet Theodore Jarris, the first member of the governing body to visit Albania. Over 600 gathered for a talk he gave in Tiran. In the meantime, property had been purchased in Tiran for an office. In less than 6 months, a team of hard-working foreign brothers remodeled an old villa into modern offices and constructed a residence for 24 people. The dedication was held on May 12, 1996, when Milton Henschel of the governing body visited Albania. They preached alone. A young man in Korç named Arben read the Bible literature his sister had sent him and recognized the ring of truth. He wrote to the Albania office, and for a while he continued to learn the truth by means of correspondence with the brothers. To provide further spiritual assistance, two brothers made a special trip to meet him. During the course of the conversation with Arben, it became evident that he qualified to be a publisher. The two brothers then took him to the center of Korç and let him watch as they preached to passers-by. Arben relates, "Then they gave me magazines and said, 'Now it's your turn.' They told me to go alone, and I did." It was a few months before special pioneers came to help him. In the meantime, though, people responded to his preaching. Not long after the special pioneers arrived, a group was formed. Toward the end of the year, the pioneers in Vlor called the office saying that Areti Pina was ill and wanted to meet with one of the responsible brothers. When the brother arrived, Areti dismissed everyone else from the room so that she could talk to him privately. "I do not have long to live," she said, gasping for air. "I have been thinking, and I need to ask you something. I cannot absorb all the details, but I need to know. Has the book of Revelation been fulfilled?" "Yes, Areti, most of it has," responded the brother, who then outlined a few things that are still awaiting fulfillment. Areti paid rapt attention to every word. "Now I can die in peace," she said. "I needed to know how close we are." For many years, Areti had been an enthusiastic publisher, whether preaching alone in the mountains or from her bed when she was sick. Shortly after that conversation, Areti faithfully finished her earthly course. His faith was strong to the end. Nasho Dori, in his 80s, was ill, and his strength was failing. But one group of brothers in particular needed his encouragement, the young brothers who were being called up for military service. The Orthodox clergy in Berat, who envied the rapid growth among Jehovah's Witnesses, pressured the authorities to prosecute these young men. 6 young brothers there who refused to join the military faced the prospect of several months in prison. Recognizing their need for encouragement, Nasho sat up in bed and videotaped a message for them. "Do not be afraid," Nasho urged the young brothers. "We have been through this before. Jehovah will be with you. If you go to prison, do not worry. It will turn out for the good of Jehovah's name." As Nasho's health continued to fail, he called brothers to his bedside and said, "I had to pray for forgiveness. Last week I was in so much pain that I prayed to die. Then I thought, Jehovah, you are the author of life. Everything you stand for is life. I was asking for something that goes against your will. Please forgive me." When Nasho learned that the number of publishers in Albania had grown to 942, he said, We have finally got a great crowd in Albania. A few days later, he died, finishing his earthly course. The Trazira, a time of anarchy. By 1997, there was much exploitation, bribery, and corruption. Many Albanians sold everything they had and invested all their money in get-rich-quick pyramid schemes. When their investments failed, embittered citizens took their protests to the streets. At that very time, while the Special Assembly Day program was in progress, a sister who worked for a high-ranking official told the brothers that the Prime Minister was about to resign. She learned that there was going to be an outbreak of unprecedented violence. The Special Assembly Day program was cut short so that the brothers could get home quickly. 2 hours after the program ended, the country was in a state of emergency and a curfew was enforced. No one knew exactly what was happening. Rumors were rampant. Was it foreign intervention or local politics? The pyramid schemes had collapsed, and most people had lost everything they had invested. Rioting erupted in Vlorë. People broke into national armories and plundered all the weapons and ammunition. As newscasts reported what was happening, people in city after city resorted to violence. The country was in an uproar, and the police lost control. Albania disintegrated into armed revolt and anarchy. Most of the 125 foreign full-time servants in Albania went to Tiranë for safety. Many Albanians blamed foreigners for what was happening, so it was prudent for the foreign pioneers to leave the country. Because the airport was closed, some of the pioneers from Italy were taken to Durrës, where the port was in the hands of local armed men. After a tense wait of 12 hours, the pioneers boarded a boat for their home country. The country committee was in daily telephone contact with brothers in various parts of the country. During the early part of the day, there was an eerie calm on the streets. But by the afternoon, people began firing their weapons and continued doing so right through the night until dawn. Some even had anti-aircraft artillery. The struggle became known as the Trazira, or turmoil. For the good of Jehovah's name. Arben Merko, one of the six brothers from Berat who was imprisoned for neutrality, relates, "In my cell there was a small hole in the wall. A man in the next cell asked who I was. Arben witnessed to him for weeks. One day, the voice was no more. After Arben was released from prison, a young man came to his door. Arben did not recognize the man's face, but his voice was familiar. It was the man who had been in the prison cell next to his. 'I came to give you this,' he said to Arben, handing him an amplifier. 'During the Trazira,' he told Arben, 'I stole this amplifier from your kingdom hall. But what you told me in prison touched my heart. I want to have a clear conscience before God, so I have brought it back to you.'" Arben could not help but recall Nasho Dori's final message to the group of young integrity keepers. "It will turn out for the good of Jehovah's name." Taking care of Jehovah's sheep. The departure of the foreign elders left most congregations and large groups in the care of 19 and 20-year-old ministerial servants. One day, at great risk to themselves, three of these young brothers traveled from Vlorë to Tiranë. Concerned about the food shortage, the country committee asked if the brothers needed any material provisions in particular. "We've just run out of field service report slips," the young men answered. Like elderly faithful ones from years ago, they were more concerned about spiritual needs than physical needs. They then related that many people were responding positively to the good news because of all the fear and uncertainty. Soon after the memorial, the office received a phone call. "We are a group of your sisters in Kukës," said one of them, "and we have been holding meetings alone since the pioneers left." As a result of the turmoil, the brothers in Tiranë had lost communication with the publishers in Kukës. Nevertheless, a group of seven unbaptized publishers had held the memorial in two places. Although they were concerned that they may not have conducted the memorial perfectly, they were happy to report that 19 had attended at the two venues. Amazingly, despite the curfew and difficult conditions in 1997, there were 3,154 present at the memorial throughout Albania. And despite the anarchy, the publishers kept preaching, giving comfort while also being careful. When the country committee found out that the brothers in Girocastr needed food and literature, they discussed whether it would be safe to send a truckload of provisions there. However, their discussion was interrupted by a sister who said that a news broadcaster who might have some helpful information had come to see the brothers. Without knowing what the committee was discussing, the news broadcaster advised, "Whatever you do, do not go down south tomorrow. We have received reports that something dangerous is being planned in Tepelane." Because the truck to Girocastr would have to go through Tepelane, the brothers decided to cancel the trip. The next day, shortly after 11 o'clock, a special news bulletin reported that an extremely violent and bloody clash had taken place in Tepelane, and that the bridge in the city had been blown up. How grateful the brothers were to Jehovah that they had been prevented from going there that day. For weeks, the Bethel family heard gunshots throughout the night, and they often conducted morning worship with the sound of machine gun fire and bombs in the background. Guns were being fired into the air at random, and there was always the risk of stray bullets. For safety's sake, the Bethel family stayed indoors, and the translators sat on the floor away from the windows while they continued with their work. In April 1997, a force of 7,000 United Nations troops arrived to restore order to the country. By August, the UN forces had left Albania, and it was possible for the brothers to arrange a district convention. The publishers were delighted. For months, they had been able to meet only in small groups. Armed robbers held up some of the buses chartered by the brothers to bring them to the convention. However, when they found out that the passengers were Jehovah's Witnesses, they said, "You people are different. We cannot harm you." What effect did the Trazira have on the preaching work in Albania? Rather than hinder the growth, the danger and anxiety seemed to make many people more conscious of their spiritual need. As a result, in just 15 months, 500 new publishers started in field service, bringing the total of publishers to over 1,500. Kosovo in the spotlight. After the Trazira, the guns seemed to disappear and the congregations kept growing. However, problems were erupting in neighboring Kosovo. The war there was felt in Albania as waves of refugees streamed over the border. The Albanian publishers lost no time in providing the refugees with a message of hope and with comforting literature. They also cared well for a group of 22 made up of Jehovah's Witnesses and their little children. In August, when the war ended, the Kosovar brothers returned to their homes, but not alone. They were accompanied by Albanian and Italian brothers, including 10 special pioneers who wanted to provide needed spiritual help. By the end of the 1999 service year, there were 1,805 publishers in Albania and 40 in Kosovo. Increased spiritual stability. "I'm glad we are translating so much," Nasho Dori had said before he died, "but what we really need is the New World Translation, a good quality Bible on which to build our faith." Just 3 years after Nasho's death, in 1999, the governing body gave approval for the translation of the New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures into Albanian. At the convention in 2000, a wonderful surprise awaited the Albanian audience: the release of the New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures in Albanian. The hard-working translation team poured their heart and soul into the project and completed it in just under a year. A regular pioneer who was formerly a communist member of the parliament wrote, "How wonderful! Only after studying this translation have I been able to appreciate how beautiful the Bible is, with its prose, poetry, and flowing accounts. When I read how Jesus performed miracles and was rebuked and mocked, I felt deep emotions that I had never felt before. I could imagine each touching scene so clearly. By now, there were 2,200 publishers in Albania, and the Bethel family had grown to 40. Apartments had been rented, but more room was needed. Consequently, the governing body approved the purchase of a 7-acre piece of land on the outskirts of Tiran in Muzes. To help oversee the growing field in Albania and in Kosovo, the country committee began functioning as a branch committee in 2000. In September 2003, when construction began on the new branch facilities, Albania reported 3,122 publishers. At the same time, translation of the Hebrew scriptures into Albanian was well underway. Not only was the preaching work advancing rapidly, but the publishers were making commendable spiritual progress. Many of the 20 young men who made up Albania's first class of the ministerial training school in August 2004 had been teenagers when they cared for congregations during the Trazira a few years before. How happy they were now to have received further theocratic training. The devil was angry. "Jehovah teaches people to kill themselves," read the newspaper headlines in February 2005. News reports on television and in newspapers carried false rumors that a teenage girl who had committed suicide was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, the girl had neither studied nor attended meetings. Nevertheless, opposers used the incident to launch an all-out attack. Teachers ridiculed witness children. Brothers lost their jobs. People clamored for our work to be banned. Though brothers tried to reason with the media, the news reports only got worse. It was clear that Jehovah's servants needed guidance and support to cope with this new attack. So the branch arranged for a special talk to be presented to show the value of continuing to preach the truth in order to counter the venomous lies. The brothers were encouraged to reason with people and not give in to fear of man. They could point out to honest-hearted ones that the number of Jehovah's Witnesses had increased phenomenally over the past few years, which would not have been the case if witnesses had been killing themselves. This type of attack was nothing new. The brothers were reminded of the false suicide reports about Spiro Vruho back in the 1960s. The present reports would fail miserably, and fail they did. Just a few months later, in August, David Splane of the governing body joined the 4,675 delegates from Albania and Kosovo at their district convention. The audience could barely contain their delight when Brother Splane released the complete New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures in Albanian. "No wonder Satan was trying hard to hinder us," said one old-timer. "He was angry because so many good things were happening to Jehovah's people." Despite negative reports in the media, God's servants in Albania continued to grow stronger. Many unbelieving husbands and relatives who saw through the untrue news reports began to study the Bible and became publishers. In the face of Satan's most vicious onslaughts, Jehovah's will was being accomplished. The Bethel family moved into the new branch, and the second class of the ministerial training school got underway. Branch dedication. In June 2006, Theodore Jarris and Garrett Loesch, both of the governing body, were among the 350 delegates from 32 countries present for the dedication of the new branch facilities. Also at the dedication was Sotir Tsechi, who had been tortured with electric shocks in the 1940s. Now in his late 70s, he continues to serve with joy. "I only dreamed of this day," said Frosina Jaka, still serving loyally despite decades of intense hardship. Polikseni Komino, Yanni's widow, was there to tell about her daughters and granddaughter, who were serving as regular pioneers. Also in attendance was Vasil Joka, now hunched over after years of suffering. His eyes filled with tears as he reminisced about visiting Leonida Pope and being baptized secretly in 1960. The former branch in Tiran was turned into a Kingdom Hall complex and missionary home for 14 missionaries. 6 classes of the ministerial training school have produced a crop of faithful, self-sacrificing special pioneers who are an enormous asset to the Albanian field. More than 950 local regular and special pioneers reflect a similar glowing evangelizing spirit. The Road Ahead. Our brothers and sisters in Albania deeply appreciate the Bible and the literature that has been translated into their mother tongue. Jehovah's work in this part of the field continues to progress steadily. In addition to the eager and capable men who are being trained to take on theocratic responsibility, the women telling the good news are a large army. Psalm 68:11. Jehovah's Witnesses in Albania are living testimony to the truthfulness of the inspired words, "Any weapon whatever that will be formed against you will have no success, and any tongue at all that will rise up against you in the judgment you will condemn." This is the hereditary possession of the servants of Jehovah. Isaiah 54:17. Because of Jehovah's undeserved kindness and strength, they remained unbroken by totalitarian rule, torture, isolation, malicious media publicity, and personal problems. Jehovah's people in Albania face the future absolutely certain of God's loyal love and blessing. Regardless of difficulties, they rejoice in the privilege of making their Heavenly Father's heart glad and in the hope that is set before them. If one thing has echoed through Albania's theocratic history, it is this: Jehovah never forgets the sacrifices, great and small, made by His loyal servants, young and old.